I think you're right.
Like ancient civilization, and that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I think it's probably Egypt. I'll look it up. Carlin vs. Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. She's Courtney Cronin in for Joe today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. An incredible run, an incredible two-year run capped off for UConn last night as Dan Hurley and company yet again blow out another opponent. They win the national championship over Purdue by 15. Absolutely amazing achievement over the two-year span in the NCAA tournament. They have won 12 consecutive games, and they have done it by more than 13 points each time. Courtney, I don't know, given how things are these days, given that Dan Hurley had to virtually completely turn over his roster, had a couple of players come back, but you know, had to fill in three, four starters, that you can ever see a coaching job over a two-year span and a run over a two-year span like this in its dominance.
It's different from the ones that we saw back in the mid-2000s when Florida did it, 06, 07, and even in the women's game, the late 90s or mid-90s when Pat Summitt took her teams at Tennessee to three straight championships, 96 through 97, and then Candace Parker doing it in the mid-2000s at Tennessee as well. Those teams, men's and women's, not just the women's game, those teams were together for more than 1 year. For Dan Hurley to effectively scrap a lot of last year's roster, and there were some things that carried over. I don't want to, you know, completely say it was a brand new mix that they had, because you take a look at someone like Tristan Newton, who was a former transfer guard who finished his second year with the program. You know, for the second time in as many years, the engine of this team getting them to through six straight single elimination games en route to winning its second straight national championship. That's on coaching. That's on the way that they build these rosters, the way that they're able to part ways with talent because of the NBA, you know, guys going to the NBA, guys graduating, guys going to different schools via the transfer portal, and continue to bring talent in to fit that talent with the talent that you already have.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for two big days only this weekend at the Ilario Center in West Wego. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry, and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Ilario Center in West Wego to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
Time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour two is brought to you by Chris's Painting. Driveways, parking lots, overlays. Locally owned and operated. The asphalt, concrete, pouring contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Give him a call if you're paving it at all. 985-960-2131. If you can't remember the numbers, he's chrispaving.com. Hour two is off and running. Coming up this hour, Gary Smith will join us. Jeff Boggs at the end of the hour for ESPN Bets as we get into action. Back to the NBA. Went through the standings there a little bit. Bottom line is this, just win. Win your games if you're the Pelicans as they take on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. But there is a lot of scoreboard watching to keep an eye on here as well. Pelicans and Trail Blazers, New Orleans 13.5 point favorites into this one here as they are coming off of that big win against the Suns. Let's get to the games to scoreboard watch here. First and foremost, you got the Dallas Mavericks. They're taking on the Hornets. That game's at 6 o'clock. Dallas is 13.5-point favorites. I would understand why. The other game of note to keep an eye on is the Kings and Thunder. That game's coming up at 7 o'clock. It's at OKC. We want OKC to win. So Sacramento, you know, obviously loses, and you get a little breathing room on them. Warriors and Lakers, 9 o'clock on TNT. LA is a 2.5-point favorite. Here's an interesting one because of where they are in the standings. The Warriors are 2.5 games behind the Lakers. Now, LA only has 3 games left. The Lakers have Golden State tonight. Then they're at Memphis, at New Orleans. So, the Lakers got the game today, and then the NBA did them a little favor. Have a couple days off. Take Wednesday off. Take Thursday off. Go ahead and play Friday. We'll give you Saturday off as well. And then you finish up the regular season on Sunday. So, you know, the Pels have a back-to-back on Thursday, Friday. LaBoo-boo and them. They need their rest. So, point is, I think if L.A. wins tonight, I don't see how the Warriors could move up. Which is why I would wonder if at that point, depending on what happens above the Lakers in the standings, if they decide to rest players or not, can they still get there? Again, when I look at the standings, what's uneasy is they're absolutely within earshot of going 7 or 8. I mean, they're only a half game out of 8. Sacramento loses tonight. The Lakers win. They're in 8th. Guess who you're playing in the play-in? Lakers. The other thing is obviously 7 hosts 8, 9 hosts 10. The Lakers are only a game and a half out of 6. If they win today, Memphis is a winnable game for them. I'm sure they feel New Orleans on Sunday is a game they can go get. If they finish out winning their final 3 games, they have a very realistic opportunity with the opponents they're facing winning tonight to go and get out of the play-in, which is everyone's goal. And then you're guaranteed, obviously, a 4-game series minimum, right? Best of 7. Which means you got to win 4. So the Lakers got a lot going on tonight. So I don't know. I almost feel like I want Golden State to win tonight rather than the Lakers. Lakers win tonight, there's real legit honest hope for 6. And all of a sudden, that game on Sunday for them becomes really big. Because they're absolutely beating Memphis. They're going to beat Memphis on Friday. So especially if the 6 is on the line. Right? So now you got those guys coming in here a little differently focused. And I'm not saying that the Pels can't beat them with them a little bit focused on that aspect of it. I'm just saying, realistically, Pels having to play Sacramento. Pels having to play Golden State in a back-to-back. That's in San Francisco on Friday, right? After Sacramento on Thursday. Either getting on the flight or waiting Saturday morning to then travel all day and then play a Sunday 2:30 game. When all LaBoo-boo and them have to do is come down 45 minutes from Memphis after their game on Friday, they get to hang out, go eat muffaladas, do whatever they want to do on Saturday while the Pels are traveling. So, and that's if they don't come back. I don't know. Do you come back after that game from Golden State? Regardless, I think looking at it and speaking about it out loud, I want Golden State to win. I want Golden State to win tonight. Don't want the Lakers to win tonight. I never want the Lakers to win, but you know what I'm saying. I think Lakers win tonight, they're sitting there going, we can get 6. We can go get 6 in their minds. Again, you look at the schedule that the Suns have. Clippers, Sacramento, Minnesota. Pelicans, Portland tonight, Sacramento, Golden State, Lakers. I'm the Lakers. I got 3 left. If I can go get Golden State tonight, in their minds, I think they would be absolutely favored over Memphis and New Orleans. I mean, they just would. Now, when you look at the Warriors, it's Lakers, Portland, New Orleans, and Utah. So they may be looking at, hey, it's going to be 10 already. What do we do? So that game tonight at 9 o'clock, it's a pretty big one. So we'll keep an eye on that one at the same time as the Pels are taking on the Trailblazers. Clippers taking on the Suns. That's also another huge one at 9 o'clock. So the three biggest games, to me, all are 9. Pels and Blazers. You cannot lose tonight. Like, you cannot lose tonight. Clippers and Suns at 9. Warriors and Lakers at 9. So hopefully Zion, who played outstanding on Sunday, comes in and has that same attitude he had, which is what he said right after the game, back on Sunday.
It's just kind of one of those moments. You know, people remember the greats because of key moments. Whether it's in the playoffs or a key regular season win, people remember moments. And, you know, if I want to be one of those players, I got to make it happen in those moments.
Look, played outstanding. CJ McCollum played outstanding. Those two guys have to show up again, not only today, moving on, and doing those things. CJ McCollum on the win back on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good practice day where, you know, coach just basically told us we just got to go out there and hoop, man, and have fun and just enjoy the moment. And I think we did that. We got off to a better start after the first few minutes. And, you know, every game is a must-win game. So I think it's just a mentality of just playing hard and trusting your talent, executing it, and playing for your teammate. And, you know, outside of that terrible loss against the Spurs, we lost to some good teams. So it's just about, you know, competing at a high level and giving yourselves a chance. And I thought we did that tonight.
Eric, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Oh, man, I'm so sick of this give them credit guy and chopping wood, man. What are we going to do with these coaches, man?
I don't know. We'll see at the end of the year and all that. But, the cliches are the cliches, aren't they?
Oh,
how about this one? Let's throw in another one. Get it done. Just get it done. Whatever you need to do, get it done.
Oh, man. I see him going 2-2, man. I don't see him.
Really?
This team, as soon as they get you to where you want to go cheer for them, and, mm-hmm. You know, I took my kids to the Clippers game for their birthday, and we were riding on cloud 9. Oh, yeah, we had our pale shirts on, and they won the game. I was like, all right, we turned the corner. And they go on a four-game losing streak. They go from fourth place to now seventh place. You're in the play here.
Yeah.
And in life, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you earn. So, it's the eighth, the ninth, tenth seed. But, I mean, that's what they earn because they wasn't winning the games early on in the season. That they should have won when they lost double-digit leads, turned the ball over in crunch time. I think it's time to blow it up after this season, Gus.
You want to blow it up?
Wow. It ain't working. I mean, I just don't see it working.
Look, I don't think that you're alone in feeling... how do I put it? I think people look at where they are right now with a level of disappointment that I think it is curious. And I say it's curious from this aspect of it. And by no means, and I apologize, I'm not trying to lump you into John Forcade because he's a special individual. But every time John chimes in our group chat, it's they're terrible. Fire everybody. The management's terrible. The coach is terrible. Zion's terrible. CJ's terrible. Like, everyone's terrible. Like, he wants to start a whole new team. I don't know how you do that. But I mean, it's the same thing with the Saints and everything, right? So, because I try to look at it from a realistic side, a fan side, and just what I see around me, right? Here's the thing. The New Orleans Pelicans are a 46-win team. Okay? So, they are. They have talent. I do think, and we have discussed on this show, whether it's Jack, whether it's Wes Mankrick, whether it's Cajun Goat, who I know absolutely is leading this train, I do believe they have salted away, however you want to use away, you know, the language, 12 to 13 games. Clutch games, whatever. Give me half of those. Okay, I'm not saying you had to win all of those clutch games. But if there's 12 to 13 and you win six more wins, puts you at 52, you're fourth right now. Right? Minnesota, Denver's 54, OKC's 53, Clippers are 50. The other aspect that's been brought up, the question that they have at center. Clearly, this coach believes going small, not having Jonas in certain situations, works. Me, with many fans, feel I don't get it. Regardless, that is something that they wanted to address before the season, didn't. That falls on the top, right? Not getting the right player, not using the right vision, or in the case of the coach not doing the right thing. Whatever the reason, I think there's a game or two that could have gone the other way if the center position was figured out or you use Jonas. So that's eight games. Let's just give me two of those, and I think there's more. General D. Goodness gracious, can we get a point guard? Right? The can we get a point guard crew? Well, there have been games where you had high-level amount of turnovers, offense isn't initiated, games in the clutch, the ball becomes stagnant, things of that nature. Having a field general, having a true legit point guard would have maybe helped on that, and that's something that I do think this organization needs to address in the offseason one way, shape, or form from this. Philosophically, we've heard them for 2 years say, we don't need a true point guard, we have seven of them. In their minds, we have seven people that can bring the ball up the court. We have point Zion. We have all. Look, I can talk to you for about an hour and a half why I think having a point guard actually helps you. But again, you've heard this team say, this is what we're going to do. Anybody can bring the ball up the court. Look, the fact that Brandon Ingram is your team leader in assist, it's a great thing for him. Shows his game is well around, but he's supposed to be your scorer. It needs to put, like, do we want Brandon Ingram moving forward to be the guy that initiates the offense and distributes? Or do we want him hitting middies and three-pointers and scoring? So that's something that needs to get focused. Point that I'm trying to make is this. Everything I just laid out is a winning recipe to an extent. You just need to maybe change the recipe a bit, add some salt, take away this, throw in an herb here or two. And what I mean by that is, I don't think you blow up 46 wins with a possibility of maybe winning 6 to 7 more games with better coaching, better play, Zion being physically ready to start the season, as opposed to him taking all the way to March to be where he is now, because you can see how he is when he's physically ready and in shape and mentally ready to take on a leadership role like he is right now. What if Zion can start the season like this? What if you can get a more athletic, big rim protector? What if you can have a player that can help you with the ball handling aspect? What if they figure out how to use a guy like Jordan Hawkins who can knock down threes? So I'm not ready to blow that up, if that makes any sense to you. Does that make sense, Eric?
That makes a lot of sense where you lay it all out, man. But a lot of the pieces, like you said, it don't fit.
Well, yeah, and look, that's the thing, right? I mean, you have to do the old taste test, dude, in the offseason. What worked and what didn't. But I do think you have more that worked than not, if that makes sense.
That made a lot of sense, man. I appreciate you taking my call.
Nah, man. Appreciate you for calling. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Romance is a storm of entertainment that brings down the house. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
As always, appreciate the time Mr. Leo Haggerty gives us. A little national championship action here as well. Leo, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine, Gus, and I'll tell you what, that game played out exactly how you and I said it would. Amazing, isn't it?
There's a lot of commentary nationally that Dan Hurley is the best coach in men's college basketball. Let's start there. Do you think he is the top of the game?
I tell you what, this is a dominant stretch. 12 games over 2 years, double-digit wins. We haven't seen that since John Wooden at UCLA. It'd be tough to argue with him because look what he did last night. He saw what Rick Barnes did at Tennessee. He saw what NC State did. He said, okay, we're going to give Edie his points, but we're going to guard that three-point line like it's the end of the world. They ran everybody that Purdue had off that three-point line, and we're just going to play pick and roll out front with our big guy because Edie's not going to come out. He's going to protect the basket. So what happens? Edie gets 37. Purdue goes 1 of 7. They only get 7 three-pointers. That's how good Connecticut's defense was. And Connecticut, they get 6 of 27. Not a good shooting night, but 5 more threes, 15 points. What was the point difference, Gus? 15. Dan Hurley, a masterpiece.
To that point, how much is it? Because, look, I think Seth Greenberg compared them in what they're doing right now at UConn, sort of like what Saban did with Bama and things of that nature. It feels like the right mix, doesn't it, Leo, in that for coaches, coaches are as good as their players, right? And good players can kind of maybe take their game to the next level with the right coaching and things of that nature and be receptive to it. And I guess that's where I'm trying to get at in this aspect of it. In today's day and age with college sports, and just even at pro as well, with what he's doing right now, I guess that's why it makes sense the way he answered those questions yesterday and even today in a Pat McAfee show of, are you going to Kentucky and you're going to die? He's like, what are you talking about? He has everything there. Like, when you have that situation, you run that out until you can't, huh? Does that make sense? Like, Saban at Bama, does Dan Hurley run that out as long as he can at UConn where you're getting the right players that want to be coached the way you coach, and you know what now, what's working in college right now, and you ride that out.
Especially in Connecticut. Look what's happened. I mean, they've had three coaches in what, the last 30 years, and they've won 3 national championships? 4 of them, maybe? Yeah. I like to compare Dan Hurley to Brian Dutcher out of San Diego State. Mm-hmm. Both of them are in the right situation. Think about this. San Diego State, the only loss they have in the two tournaments is to Connecticut the last 2 years. Is Brian Dutcher looking to move? No. He's very happy in San Diego State. They're now paying him a really good salary. Why does he want to go anywhere? He's got summer 12 months a year out in San Diego. Why does Dan Hurley want to leave? He doesn't have to fight football every year at Connecticut. Yeah, they're there. But they're secondary. That's the thing. Dan Hurley's in the right place at the right time. Why move? Perfect spot.
Makes a lot of sense, dude. So what do you think does happen? You think he stays there or do you think he does move?
I'll tell you what, Gus. The problem is you got to listen. If anybody comes back and says, his agent will come, hey, look, they're talking this, you got to listen. Just for your family and that. But I'll tell you what, it's going to have to deal a deal to knock their socks off because he's got a good bit of those guys coming back next year. The thought of a three-peat in college and you're not wearing powder blue with UCLA on the front, that's unheard of. So, yeah.
Right, what, third time of repeat in the last, 50 years, something like that, right? Florida was the last to sort of do it. And to your point, I guess somewhat setting history in that aspect of it. I guess one of the other things that I'm trying to link or just kind of look at it on a broader scope is the whole talk about Kentucky. Who is it as darling a job as maybe it once was? Like, I guess what I'm saying is NIL, transfer, all that stuff are jobs that used to be like, man, I'm leaving everything behind. Jobs like that still? Because some of the coaches came out yesterday like, I'm happy where I'm at. Now, granted, you can parlay that into a raise, and you've seen that with football, right? Where the second their names were mentioned with Alabama, all of a sudden they miraculously got extensions and all that other stuff. So you can parlay that. But how much do you really think people were willing to leave Texas or other schools to go to Bama? And you didn't really see it that much. And how many coaches do you think? Iowa State, their head coach was
mention to it as well. Dan Hurley leaving to go to Kentucky.
Gus, the question is the grass greener on the other side of the fence? And when you get to bluegrass country in Kentucky, it's not expected that you win. It's expected that you get to a tournament and make a deep run and win a national championship. That's their expectation. If that's your expectation and you want to go into that, boy, good luck to you. Mm-hmm. Because those things just don't happen. And think about what they have to do with Kentucky. Kentucky's been the one-and-done school. Now, are you going to stay with that, or are you going to change it? So that's really tough. Plus, Gus, the one question media needs to ask coaches, has Kentucky contacted you? And they'll say no. Then the follow-up is, has Kentucky contacted your agent? See what that answer is. Because coaches always say, I have had no conversation. And they're not lying, but their agent's doing it. Ask that question. That'll see just how much interest there is.
Be interesting to see what takes place on that. What else did you make out of it? Obviously, now that the season has come to a conclusion in the tournament overall, was it as exciting as we all want it to be? And it, you know, we didn't really see a ton of the buzzer beaters. There was no, I guess, quote-unquote Cinderellas. I know NC State didn't make a run to the Final Four, so I guess maybe that would be it that you would use. Or I don't know. I felt like last night I wouldn't say let down, but the South Carolina-Iowa game in the women's Final Four had captured my attention a little bit more. I got to be honest. It's more exciting.
Okay, let's be honest, Gus. When's the last time two number one seeds met in the final?
Right.
It
didn't seem like a really good game. I don't know. That's just me.
It wasn't a good game because of what Connecticut did. Connecticut just wore Purdue down. And you could see that coming because they pressured Smith the entire length of the floor. They made sure he gave the ball. Purdue was starting their offense 40 feet from the basket. They're not used to that. And it was just, they weren't going to get shots. Give credit to Connecticut. What a great game plan. And then having the pieces on the floor to accomplish that game plan. But was it exciting? No. Was it fun to watch? Yeah. Was it a great basketball team? Oh, absolutely. We're watching a great basketball team over the last 2 years at the University of Connecticut.
Okay. I see what takes place moving forward on that. I know the other thing you have a lot of interest in here. We got about another 2 minutes. One thing that I want to ask you real quick, the Masters, man. Who do you like? Basically everybody in Vegas and everyone saying it's Scheffler's Masters to lose. Tiger still thinks he can win. Who's a golfer to you be keeping an eye on here starting on Thursday?
Tony Finau. Keep an eye on him. He's just prepping up for the Masters to get there. And here's my dark horse, Ricky Fowler.
Really?
Probably the best golfer never to win a major.
Yep. Got that title.
I tell you what, Sergio Garcia had it for the longest time until he finally won one. But keep an eye on Ricky Fowler. Keep an eye on Tony Finau. Those are my two guys to watch. Now, yeah, you're going to see all the, you know, the name guys up there that are just playing well right now. Those two guys, watch. I got a feeling about that, Gus.
Hey, man. Thank you, as always. Appreciate it. Yep, Scottie Scheffler, number one in the official world golf rankings. His tee time on Thursday, 10:42 a.m. Eastern time. Now, again, weather is going to be interesting when we get here, Leo, because that big storm that's heading that way on Thursday, it's coming through here tomorrow. So we'll see what takes place, and obviously weather always affects a lot of different aspects of it, man. But it is Masters week, man. It's gorgeous. I'm looking at the coverage right now on ESPN. I can't wait to see what happens. Tiger Woods, by the way, is going to go with Jason Day and Max Homa. It's going to be the trio that will be out on the
court. And the magnolias are blooming up in Augusta, Gus. It's time for golf.
There it is. I hear. Thursday, 12:24 is when Tiger tees off, and he's being interviewed right now by Marty Smith. All right. We will continue with Gary Smith next on ESPN New Orleans. Thank you, Leo.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
As always, appreciate the time Mr. Gary Smith gives us here as well, sir, as we talk a little baseball and football. Hard to believe, man. We're in April. The NFL draft, spring games coming to a conclusion, spring practices coming to a conclusion. Gary, how are you today, sir?
Doing well, Gus. Doing well.
You want to start with a little football? Let's start with a little football, man.
Yeah.
April 20th is they're going to be their spring game here as well. It's obviously the first spring under a new coach. You don't have the same quarterback. You have a bunch of different coordinators. How's it gone? I mean, there's a lot of kind of things to pay attention to when you go to practice now.
Yeah, no doubt. The biggest difference is the practices are definitely more energetic than they were under Willie Fritz, and that's not casting any criticism on Fritz. It's just they're faster paced. The offensive linemen are constantly out of breath during practice because it's going so much quicker than it did in the past. But yeah, in terms of personnel, one of the first things John Sumrall pointed out is that there's 15 of the starters in the season opener last year are no longer on the team or are injured right now.
Wow.
So this is not the same. They've got a lot of work to do. I mean, he was an incredible, I think he was a home run hire in every possible way, but they definitely have some work to do, and particularly on defense. Obviously, the quarterback situation is a big deal, but on defense, their secondary really has two players who played any type of substantial role last year, and one of them was playing for Troy, and he transferred to Tulane. They're at defensive end. They don't have a lot of experience, so they've got a lot of talent on the roster, but it's completely unproven talent. A lot of Willie Fritz's last couple of recruiting classes, which he absolutely loved, but didn't get a ton of playing time behind the veterans in front of them, are going to have to come forward. So yeah, I've been particularly in the secondary. It's kind of like a who's he kind of scenario when during practice so far.
When you look at the quarterback battle here as well, did you legit think it's an open battle here? Is there anything any of those two guys could have done in the spring? Yeah. Do you think it comes straight into the fall here? And do you think maybe they both start and see action in the opener?
Yeah, and John Sumrall is insisting it's actually a three-way battle.
Really?
Darian Mensah, who came in under Willie Fritz last year, an under-the-radar recruit from California, has really been impressive. Now, part of that is, first of all, they really like Darian Mensah. But, you know, in this modern age, if it's not a competition, people are transferring a lot of times. But Darian Mensah has been impressive. He's been getting the same number of reps, basically, as the other two guys. Yet it's still too early to judge. Ty Thompson missed the beginning of spring in terms of their full workout stuff because he had minor foot surgery. He came back right after spring break, and in their scrimmage Saturday, he showed his full talent. He's very mobile. He's got a really good arm, but he just hadn't played that much in college football to this point. So we're really, it's hard to judge him. He made a couple of questionable reads again today in practice. He did the same. All three quarterbacks in the scrimmage, they all directed one touchdown drive and they all threw one interception. So it was kind of the good and the bad from all three. And Kai Horton, although Kai Horton played more, I'm hearing the same things about him from Sumrall that I heard from Fritz, and that they want more attention to detail in practice. Kai tends to take it easy sometimes in practice a little bit. He has a lot of arm talent, obviously he was never going to start in front of Michael Pratt. That was not even on the board. But so he has the most experience, but not a ton. So it really is an open competition, and it's that's another position where if the season started right now, they might be in a little trouble. But that's why you have spring practice and fall practice, and they certainly, it's not an issue of talent at the position. It's just a matter of experience.
All right. I love that because that completely sounds like a wide open competition. One TD drive, one pick. You know what helps something like that? Where I do think, and I'm looking at the schedule, we got Southeastern on August 29th and then Kansas State and Oklahoma and even still the Cajuns. So that's a kind of a tough three-game stretch
that's
there.
Tough deal.
So, again, no disrespect to Southeastern, but maybe that's where you play both quarterbacks, kind of see who does what and kind of get that feel. What would help them, Gary? It's the run game, right? How's Tulane look coming into this season in the backfield?
Very good. I mean, they're loaded. There's no other way. I mean, Mekhi Hughes is just a sensational running back. He's He's not Tajay Spears because Tajay Spears was a once-in-a-generational talent. But Mekhi Hughes, he ran for well over 1,000 yards last year. He picks the right hole every time. They're not even using him a whole lot in the spring because they know what they have in him. But the guy that's been incredibly impressive in the spring is Arnold Barnes, who the Booker T. Washington product, who played a little bit at some as a true freshman last year, showed some flashes, but not a ton. He's in better shape now. He's actually a pretty similar running back to Mekhi Hughes. Both of them are physical. Both of them pick the right hole, and both of them they're not going to be breakaway threats, but they can get the job done at the position, and that's a 1-2 punch. You can win championships with those two running backs. The offensive line has some question marks, certainly at tackle, they opened up some pretty good holes in the scrimmage on Saturday. But yeah, I'd say of all the positions on the roster, running back is where they're the most set and in the best shape on the entire team.
Okay, other side of the football, you got to stop people here as well. And we've gone over the last 2 years, had some guys going to the NFL, some really big time linebackers. Yeah. And last year, I felt like, man, it was 1 week after 1 week after 1 week to start the season when you lost your best defensive players. Mm-hmm. Where do they stand on that side of the football here this spring?
Well, you know, right now, Jesus Machado, who was going to be their, one of their bellwether linebackers, he suffered a torn ACL in the bowl game, so he's not in spring practice, but he should be ready for the start of the season. He would obviously make a huge difference. They're going to rely on their defensive line a lot because they got Patrick Jenkins. Obviously, he's an SEC caliber starting talent playing for Tulane. They've been actually using him on the outside at end a little bit this spring, but they're going to rely on him. They've got Adonis Freelo back, who last year was he was returning from a torn ACL. He wasn't really 100% last year. He should be back to 100% this year. They've got Eric Hicks, who started a couple times. So those guys, if you're really strong on the defensive line, you can camouflage some of your other weaknesses. And I think they're going to have to be really strong up front. They do need another rush in, though. Darius Hodges made a pretty big mistake applying for the NFL draft. He's not going to get drafted. He would have been their rush end. So they may even have to go to the portal this summer to find a guy, because the guys they have on the roster at that position are very young. And in the secondary, they've got Bailey Despaney, who had a very good year last year. And then this guy, Caleb Ransaw, who was at Troy last year, is going to be their nickelback. He had an interception, a pick six today against Kai Horton. He looks like a player. But a lot of those other positions on defense are guys that aren't proven. And it's still too early. Again, they've got a lot of talent, but they don't have any experience. So they're going to have to coach these guys up.
Let's get to baseball, sir. That is the sport that is going on right now that counts regular season-wise. We spoke with Coach Jay Ullman here and followed your series of tweets over the weekend. And yep. It sort of feel like if I had to give a headline to your tweeting, it was missed opportunities against UAB.
Yeah. This was there's no way to sugarcoat it. This was not a good result. UAB, which has had problems winning conference series and scoring runs for a long time now, scored 26 runs in three games. Tulane lost 2 of 3. UAB had not won a conference series since Conference USA last March. They'd lost 10 consecutive conference series, 10, 8 in Conference USA and their first two in the AAC this year. And it was just, the games were close. Most of the games were close, but yeah, missed opportunity. I mean, even the game that Tulane won was concerning, because Tulane was up 6-0. Chandler Welch had pitched a no-hitter through three innings, and then he comes out in the fourth inning, can't get an out. By the time he leaves, it's 6-5, and the next batter hits a grand slam, and they're down 9-6. And that's the game they won in the weekend series. They ended up winning it 14-13, lost Sunday 7-6 against they played two of the two teams that were supposed to be the worst teams in the league, Rice and UAB, so far this year. They won 2 of 3 from Rice, lost 2 of 3 from UAB. That's why they're standing tied for second to last after 3 weeks. It's still early in the year for sure, but they looked better than this before the conference schedule started, and right now they're really scuffling.
What about UNO? It kind of feels like they're trying to figure out who they are here as well, but they've gotten some pretty nice wins.
Yeah, they have. I don't know what the heck happened to them on the weekend because, look, they went and swept Nichols at Nichols, which Mike Silva, that was the first time his team had been swept at home in his 3 years at Nichols. They were the overwhelming preseason favorite. Nichols hadn't lost since then in conference. They've won six straight games, swept Southeastern over the weekend. So UNO sweeps them. Then they have five runs in the ninth inning to win a series against Incarnate Word that you would have thought they'd win easier last weekend at home. Then they go and run rule South Alabama and run rule Houston Christian in their first game this weekend, and then got clobbered twice in a row. So they're not, they were 6-1 and in first place, and then now suddenly they're 6-3, not in first place. And they've got some questions too at this point, because it really looked like Blake Dean had a team that could go out and possibly win the regular season championship in the Southland. And those last two games make you wonder what the situation is.
You mentioned Nichols. They lose those seven games, and
yeah,
you know, Coach joins us on Tuesdays. He's like, "Hey, look, maybe we kind of needed that." And yeah. I don't know. I guess they're still maybe the favorite, huh?
I think they still are. Lamar's really good in that league too, but Nichols, they returned most of their players from last year. I thought they'd win the league easily, and certainly winning six in a row in league play says they're certainly going to be a factor.
As always, man, appreciate the time. Mr. Gary Smith, thank you so much, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep, thank you. Giving us all that info. Just chiming in, seeing what's going on with Tulane spring ball and, of course, a little baseball here as well. When we come back, Jeff Fox from our sister station, KANE, will join us next on ESPN New Orleans.
Today's Medical Minute is provided to you by Thibodeau Regional Health System.
Hello, I'm Billy Nakian, the director of the Spine Center of Excellence at Thibodeau Regional. Have you had a recent neck or back injury? Or have you been suffering with recurrent neck and back pain? Have you been searching for relief? Thibodeau Regional has developed a unique approach to treating neck and back disorders. The Spine Center of Excellence provides a comprehensive, patient-centered approach to ensure that you receive the right care at the right time from the right provider. The Spine Center is different because it offers centralized access to multiple specialties and services. Patients and their referring physicians are led by a nurse navigator through a process of assessment and treatment, individually tailored to the patient's unique condition. In addition to total care coordination, the Spine Center's comprehensive services include everything from high-tech diagnostic imaging to physical therapy, surgery, alternative medicines, and chronic pain services. If you're experiencing back or neck pain, call today, 985-493-4501. The Spine Center of Excellence of Thibodeau Regional will put you on the path back to your normal routine.
This Medical Minute was sponsored by Thibodeau Regional Health System, nationally recognized for providing the highest level of quality care and patient satisfaction.
It's Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover. Join us for Thursdays with the crew of Katie's. Every Thursday, we'll be live at a member of the Katie's family of restaurants from 12 to 3. Whether it's Katie's on Iberville, Francesca's Deli on Harrison, or Bienview on Hickory. Enjoy lively sports banter with delicious eats. Join us as we talk about the latest from our local teams, and you'll likely hear me argue with Scott Craig about his St. Louis Cardinals and my Chicago Cubs. Good thing he's a Brother Martin grad. Thursdays from 12 to 3 is the Sports Hangover with the crew of Katie's on ESPN New Orleans.
ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. There is no better time to be a sports fan. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles.
Can we talk sports? Real sports. Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. Hour 2 brought to you by Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com. It's a way to go check out what Chris can do for you. Asphalt, driveways, concrete, you name it. He's got you covered. Getting you covered on the ESPN Bet side of things each and every day around this time, Mr. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
Real good. Couldn't help but hear that last promo. I love stained concrete. My floors are stained concrete. Check it out.
Well, there you go. I like that. I might give it a look, see if Chris can handle that as well. What do you think, sir, of the national championship? Did you get a chance to check it out yesterday?
Yeah, I honestly, I watched the first half fairly intently. And then I had two TVs going, the Cubs-Padres. Cubs were doing well, but then I switched to the bedroom and I just watched the Cubs game. And I thought the six-point halftime lead was going to lead to the prediction we had yesterday that UConn would cover. Impressive effort, definitely in the second half.
Yeah, I was with you. It was kind of one of those things where I thought the Cubs were well on their way to a win, and then I have no idea what happened. How did they lose 9-8, man? They're right there. They had a nice 4-0 lead. I'm sending screenshots to Chef Scotty. I'm like, bah-ha-ha, look at what we're doing. And then they blow it tonight.
You know, the Cubs have done this a lot this year, but most of the time, you know, they've gotten big leads. They've given up those big leads. They pick up another run or two just to give them back, but in the end, they've been winning these games. Last night, they couldn't recover. Fernando Tatis and a couple of errors, too, hurt the Cubs in that seven-run sixth inning, yeah.
Yeah, seven-run innings don't tend to help you win games. That is for sure. Will the Marlins ever win a second game? They lost yesterday 7-0 to the Yankees, man. Yikes.
It's so bad Juan Soto is signing autographs during a Marlin at-bat at Yankee Stadium. And that's how bad it was.
I hear you, man. All right, look, we're focusing on the Pels here, dude. It's a game where you got to win. The records and everything tells you this is a win, which makes it even more nerving for me, right? Because, I don't know, are you going to be able to get the win? What do you think tonight, man, as they take on the Trailblazers?
Well, 13.5-point favorites are the Pels, but well, I'd be careful with that. A victory is certainly what they need in the standings. I don't know if they cover 13.5 points. The over-under, 213.5, and Pels are minus 900, Portland plus 550. Pels did snap, and they seem to be playing well on the road, getting them away from home. 46-32 now after that win against Phoenix, big road win. Couldn't have been more critical because, as you know, they're battling Phoenix to avoid the play-in tournament. Both of those teams tied for the sixth seed, although Phoenix appears to have the tiebreaker right now. Sacramento, L.A. within two games as well. Everybody's got their spot, though. At least the 10 teams are finalized, I believe, in both conferences, definitely in the West. But it's going to be an uphill battle for the Pelicans without Brandon Ingram to a knee injury, as, again, we're all aware of. Trailblazers come in 21-57, losing 11 of their last 13 outings. Stretches like that have been common for this team all year. Hard to see where they go from here. Again, that trade, giving away Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, started what was an inevitable rebuild. And maybe for the Trailblazers, what's frustrating is that the roster can't seem to stay healthy. I'm looking at their injury list.
Yeah.
It is amazing. They've got like six guys out or questionable game-time decisions today. Pelicans, of course, have a big one as well, with Ingram out and Marshall a game-time decision. But again, you know, in as much as I think the Pels win this game tonight and needing a win, the cover, I wouldn't bank on.
As long as they get the W by a point, it's good with me. But obviously, when it comes to betting, it's a little different when it comes to that, for sure. Let's take a look at another game of note. The Suns. Pels just played them on Sunday. Phoenix has got the Clippers back-to-back games. The first one's tonight in Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix comes in again, as we mentioned, tied for sixth. And again, well, technically they are in that sixth-place spot. Clippers fourth in the West. 50-28. They've won six of the last seven games. Victory on Sunday, one of the most exciting of the season. They overcame a 20-point deficit to beat the Cavaliers. Paul George went nuclear in that game. He finished with 39 points, 11 boards, 7 assists. Going to need them to keep posting lines like that going forward, though. The Suns, again, with maybe a little bit more to play for, although holding on to that four spot is big for the Clippers, hosting that first-round series. But the Suns come into the matchup winning seven of their last 10 games. That being said, they did lose at home against the Pels. That loss put a damper on the team's hopes to avoid the play-in because they're now tied with the Pels for the sixth seed in the West. And that has to be considered a disappointment. Again, stacked roster, but again, injury issues. Looks like the Lakers are more hobbled than Phoenix tonight. Nurkic, game-time decision. Lee is out for Phoenix. But then you've got a whole bunch of game-time decisions for the Clippers. Leonard is out, Primo's out, and then you got three other game time decisions. So again, the line on this one, 7.5 point favorite are the Suns at home, 226.5 the over under. Money line, Phoenix minus 320, plus 260 for the Clippers. I think the Phoenix Suns, unfortunately, covered tonight. But again, here's rooting for the Clippers.
Yeah, no doubt. Also rooting for, I think, Golden State. I don't want the Lakers to kind of have any thoughts whatsoever about getting that sixth spot. They're only a game and a half behind the Pels. They're at Golden State tonight. Got about 2.5 minutes here before we have to hit this break. What do you think, man?
Yeah, Lakers 2.5 point favorites. Golden State plus 120 on the money line, minus 140. One thing you want to look at: Golden State 26-13 against the spread on the road this year. Lakers 37-42-1 on the road against not on the road, but against the spread this season. So that stat would give Golden State the odds maybe. But again, James questionable tonight, but then that seems to be a routine thing. And one of the things about the Warriors, forward Jonathan Kuminga, giving them a great athletic score. Look for him to be huge. Steph Curry, best shooter in the history of the game, maybe. But again, ninth in league scoring this year. And last time out, Curry dropped 28 points, 6 boards, 5 assists. I like Golden State. I think they're going to win this one outright and cover.
That makes me happy. All those games at 9 o'clock tonight here as well. The Suns, the Chargers, the Warriors, Lakers, and the Pels and Blazers, all 9 p.m. tips. Sir, how if I want to get involved with ESPN Bet, how can I do that?
Well, you can do it many ways, but I definitely recommend the app, ESPN Bet, ready to take you through all those huge sports moments this spring. And it's the exclusive sports book of ESPN. It's got it all, great offers and promotions from personalities like Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, playoff intensity with the NBA, NHL coming up, golf, Masters coming up, a lot of great prop bets. Again, no better way to be a sports fan than with ESPN Bet. Sign up today, new users. When you use it, get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. Check the app out for all the details. Must be 21 or older. And if you do have a gambling problem, we urge you to take care of it. Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Go Cubs tonight.
Yeah, please. And don't give up 7 runs in an inning. That would be great. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate the time.
As always, we'll talk tomorrow.
Yep, that's Jeff Box from our sister station, KANE. When we come back, hour number 3 of the Sports Hangover, Ali Kosel will join us coming up at 2:15. In the meantime, we'll be right back. Hour 2 was brought to you by Chris's Paving on ESPN New Orleans.